Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hit up the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Talk to our guy, Adam McAlvey of Brewers.com, MLB.com. And Adam, I am so glad you're here. We really appreciate your time, man, as always. You know that. We'll start off with that. But, Adam, can you please help me tell these Brewers fans that we can all not panic. They're still over 500, and this team is going to be all right.
No. Correct? Total panic. Sell the franchise. No. I don't know.
Put it for a new stadium.
The concern is I don't mean to say it's not legitimate. I mean, I don't blame people for being concerned this far into the season. It was a big risk. Well, I don't know, big risk, but it was a calculated risk to go with three young guys in the rotation. And look, so far the results have been poor. The question is, does that mean punt on it and change course and find other options, or stay with the evaluation that got you to make that decision in the first place and give those players a chance to develop? And that's a gray area. I think the people who are saying it's one way or the other is the right way, I don't think that's correct. I think you have to acknowledge that there are pros and cons on both sides. They have stayed with these guys as long as they can. With Burns, they made a change. With Peralta, they're sort of, council just said, they're kind of TBD on what they're going to do there. It's going to depend on the next few days. But look, developing pitchers is hard, and we are seeing that before our eyes right now. And it's not wrong to be worried that they're not getting results so far.
Well, we're a month into the season. I'm not happy with what I'm seeing. I was a fan of putting all three guys in the rotation. I'm also one of those people that you said of, let's continue to have them try and work through this or whatever the case may be. I'm also one of those people that are crying about Derek Johnson still not being here and wondering how things would be different at this point. Well, and we don't know.
Let's talk about that, because I just asked Craig Counsell his thoughts on that and whether he believes that the change in pitching coaches had anything to do with it. And he said that's a totally fair question. He was actually surprised it took us this long to bring it to him. So that's on us for not going there earlier. But what he said is he sees nothing in the preparation that Chris Hook is giving these guys that makes him concerned about that part of it. What a pitching coach can do is prepare players and put them in a position to succeed. And then it is on the player to execute the plan that was put in front of them. The players have obviously not executed the plan. And again, Craig Counsell's answer was that he feels like Chris Hook has done the right preparation, that he knows these players, he has history with these pitchers, and that is not the issue to him. But
how do you explain Davies?
Well, yeah, that Davies, well, of course, because the explanation for that not being an issue is a coach will never get, you know, the credit for guys who are going good. He's going to get the blame when things are going bad.
Right.
That's just the nature of coaching. And look, but again, I don't mean to discount the people who think this is the answer, because it stands out when the Reds are doing as well as they are doing and the Brewers are doing as poorly as they're doing. And this is a change. I don't think it's wrong to question whether the coach had a role in it. But again, I think my feeling on how coaching works in Major League Baseball is that a coach's job is to put a plan in front of players to succeed, and then it is on the players, these are professional Major League players, it is on them to execute that plan, and that's what's not happening so far. So that's where they stand right now on that question.
Okay, let's talk more about
this
rotation that continues to be a mess. I said yesterday, I have no inside knowledge, just a feel. That I think if Burns is going to stay back in that bullpen, and if Peralta is either going to the bullpen or going back down to AAA, why wouldn't they consider moving Junior Guerra, who's pitched lights out, back into the rotation?
Well, one, because he's pitched lights out in the role he's in, and it gets into where you weaken one area in an attempt to maybe strengthen another. There's something to the idea that in going out there and being able to air it out for two innings or so at a time, sometimes one inning, that is part of the success that he's had. So I think that's part of it. And the other thing is it would just take time to get him there, because you can't just take a guy from the pen and then all of a sudden throw him out there for 100 pitches.
Right.
So it would be this transition period, and you would weaken your club in an area where you really need all the guys you can get right now, too. They're really encouraged of the last 2 days of Jeremy Jeffress. Yesterday, Jeremy Jeffress, from Council's eye, was Jeremy Jeffress of last April and May. You know, it was 94, 95. They loved what they saw yesterday from him. That would be huge if he continues to go in the right direction. But right now, Junior Guerra is a big part of that bullpen. So I'm not certain that he's one of the answers. Here's what I think is going to happen. He wouldn't commit to removing Freddie Peralta or using Adrian Hauser, who came up today in that starting spot. I think they're going to see how the next couple of days go, how much they need of these guys that they have now. Hauser's going out to the pen. And then make a call closer to the day. If Hauser's available on that Freddie Peralta day, maybe you flip them and you start Hauser. He's a guy they like. His first start in St. Louis wasn't great, but he's a guy they don't mind giving an opportunity to. They went into the year with him as, you know, near the top of the list of starters when they needed that sixth, seventh guy. If Hauser's not available and you don't want to do Peralta, maybe you do go to Burns, because you sent him down there to get some things right. He feels like he made some progress in those couple of minor league starts. Jeremy Jeffress is interrupting me. So maybe you go to Burns in that spot. And then if all of those guys aren't available because your pitching is just a hot mess when that spot comes up again, the other guy down in AAA is Birch Smith, who is not a name probably people know, but he was in big league camp with the Brewers. He's pitching great at AAA right now. I don't think anybody is jumping up and down at home right now when I mention that name, and I understand that. But what they're looking for is just try to find a little stability in that rotation, because they feel like the guys that are here are better than they're performing. And if they can just get things settled down a little bit and get on a little run, they still feel like they have good pitchers.
And Adam, I have a question with where and how Jeremy Jeffress is being used. Is this what his role is going to be, where he's coming in mop-up duty?
No. No, I think this is right now, it's trying to get his feet under him, and not throwing him in the ninth inning when he is, you know, not that he's not 100%, because that that connotes health, but, you know, he's not 2018 Jeremy Jeffress right now. He's working back to that still. So the idea was to put him in some of those slightly lower leverage spots and try to build him back to that. But, you know, there's kind of a need for those innings, and I think he's getting there. I think he's getting there, and I think the idea, they would very much love if he gets back to the ninth inning like he did last year. Now you're way more freed up with how you use Josh Hader, and that seems to be where things work best. Like, if Junior Guerra can be, you know, he doesn't – Corey Knebel was really, really good at the end of last year, but if Junior Guerra can be that – right-hander B to Jeremy Jeffress's right-hander A, and then you got Josh Hader as this deadly lefty. That's a pretty good combination if they can sort of get to that point.
What about the deadly lefty giving up home runs all of a sudden?
Yeah, well, look, that's interesting. Now, that didn't happen last year. When you look at Josh Hader's numbers, there are actually things that he's doing better this year. His velo is better this year in some outings. His strikeout rate is better this year, but he's giving up home runs. So it means he's missing on certain fastballs. And when he's missing on those fastballs, maybe because he's throwing so many fastballs, he's getting hurt on them and they're going for home runs. So it's like the home runs stand out because it's something that we didn't see from him last year. But when you kind of dig into his numbers a little bit, there's actually some things that he's doing better. And that's why when you ask Craig Counsell about it, which we've done when he's given up the homers, the answers are pretty short and curt, in that there is pretty much zero concern about the way Josh Hader is throwing the baseball.
You know, Adam, and you talked about the pitch. I just want to go back and visit that briefly. It almost seems like an if come maybe. It feels like a hope and a prayer. know, we're trying to juggle some things. We're trying to move some things around. But it just feels like to me, ultimately, we need better players, better pitchers. It just feels like to me that the guys that they have are not going to work out. How long will they get the right thing to do before it's too late?
Well, yeah, look, I mean, that's the question. And there isn't, like, a date I can give you. There isn't a number of games I can give you.
Well, let me ask you this, but do you feel – we all know that right now the pitching is a problem, and they have to get better.
Yeah.
Now the hitting has been bad, too, but still the pitching right now is a problem, and they have to get better. It feels like the hitting can get better before the pitching gets better, but I think both right now are kind of – working at each other to make one worse than the other.
Well, I think the pitching is the bigger problem right now.
Agreed.
To me, they're scoring runs. But then the question becomes, when something is, you know, going bad, is
yes.
the answer to make changes, or is the answer for the players to perform better?
Who are the players to perform better?
Everyone saw Corbin Burnes last year in the big leagues. Everyone saw Freddy Peralta go through a string where he was an extremely competitive rookie as a major league starter. Everyone saw Brandon Woodruff in the NLCS last year.
So we talked about that yesterday, Adam, and we did. So we all said the same thing you said. Everybody saw these guys last year, and we saw how really good they were, and then all of a sudden they decided to go with these three guys, and now it's not working, and maybe we should revisit it again?
Well, I'll tell you, like, those conversations are certainly happening, and they sit there and they debate because this is managing a sports team. How long a leash do you give your players to perform when you've made a determination? You obviously like them because they're on your team.
Right.
So you like them and you think they're talented enough to get you to where you want to go. And when they're not performing, do you have to let them continue to try, or do you have to make changes? And where David Stearns is, he's said before, he's talked about the 40 to 50 game mark. He doesn't like making big changes before 40 to 50 games.
Okay.
And that sounds tough to some people because the season, it's 162 games long, but, I mean, you're talking about almost a third of the season there, and that makes people nervous when you think about – being patient when things are going as badly as they're going for this pitching staff. But that's baseball.
Let me ask this. Okay, all right, let me ask you this. If you were – okay, forget the 40 or 50 games. I just want to ask you this. So forget the 40 and 50 games. How many games out should it be before you think you need to make a move where you don't think you can get back into it? You know what I mean? So 40 and 50 games may be it, because 40 and 50 games, you may be 10, 12 games out. So let's just forget that.
I don't think that's how you make – I don't think that's how teams necessarily make decisions based on what's happening around them. I know the Yankees and Red Sox kind of get into that tit-for-tat stuff. I don't think that's how they're going to view it.
So the games out of first place don't matter?
Well, I mean, it matters in the end because that's the goal. But I'm saying I don't think that figures into the decision-making process when you're talking about trying to do the right thing by individual players. I think those discussions are about – what do they see? Where do they see areas of improvement? Where do they see things happening that are just fluky, good or bad? I think they're looking at the individual situation and not necessarily where they stand in the midst of the rest of the division.
Adam, one final thing for you. What is the feeling and update on Christian Yelich?
Well, as we're talking here, he took BP and he went in he took BP on the field today, which is another good step. He looked, you know, he was out here looking great. They were going to determine how well this hitting session went to decide whether he's available off the bench tonight. But I think there's a chance he's back in the lineup tomorrow. That'll be a question we might not be able to get until postgame once he's gone through all his treatment and they have all the information. But I think tomorrow is, you know, that was the way it's been trending all along, and I would say it's still trending that direction.
Perfect. Perfect. Adam, appreciate it.
Thanks,
man.
Adam.
Everybody's feeling a little bit better, and we got a nice weekend.
No,
we got another home stand.
Developing pitchers is messy, and I don't want to sound like there's right and wrong, and people who are, you know, nervous about this are wrong. I don't think that's right. I think there's this is what developing pitchers look like. The Brewers, the calculated risk was doing it with three guys, and so far it's not looking good.
Yeah,
and we just don't have a whole lot of experience doing it, too. I think that's one other thing for Brewers fans, is we don't have too much experience having this many guys that we believe are going to be that good and that kind of quality starting pitchers. Adam, appreciate it, man.
Thanks, Adam. We'll see you
over the weekend at the ballpark.
All right, see you guys.
That's Adam McKelvey joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, Anthony.
Looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019? Look no further and call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local, common-sense lending to your community since 1935.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.